The topic for our time for the next couple minutes together is fear. Now, why this topic? And so it's going to look a little bit different. And already this morning, if you're kind of new or visiting, this morning may have looked different to you. We do family Sundays, you know, three or four times a year for a few different reasons. One is we're very, very blessed with many, many children in this church. And so they have a fantastic, amazing team of volunteers led by Emily downstairs, who do just great work with them, teaching them the gospel. But we said, hey, sometimes we want to be all together as a family. And what would that look like? And so, you know, being led by in worship by the kids. And so today's message is a little bit shorter. And some of you are like, oh, thank goodness. Can we have Family Sunday every Sunday? A little bit shorter. And then just so you can kind of mentally prepare, because I know for some people it's, I don't like change and I don't like doing things differently. After, you know, in the next 15, 20 minutes or whatever, then we're actually going to break into groups. And in the pews, you'll see there's some discussion questions, and I'll kind of help facilitate that at the end. But you can start mentally preparing for that, to have to share at church and participate. So the topic is fear. And so, you know, when we sat down as a team to kind of decide, well, what do we want to talk about? Fear came up pretty quickly, and for a couple of different reasons. We live in a day and age where it seems like many, many people are afraid, and afraid of different things. Afraid of, you know, stuff going on in the world. So for instance, even like this new virus that's spreading, many people are going, man, I'm afraid about that. What's that going to mean? Like, oh, I hope it doesn't come here. Afraid of those things. Many people are afraid of global warming. Eye roll. Just kidding. Discuss that at your own houses. But many people are afraid about that, right? Like, what's going to happen? Are we all going to drown? Is the planet going to blow up? All of these things. And then if you kind of take it from like a big global fear type thing to very, and you heard the difference between, you know, we're afraid of losing loved ones. We're afraid of financial things. And how is God going to provide for us as we do this? We're afraid of what people might think of us. Like, fear is a very common thing. And even culturally, we've seen in the last few years this dramatic rise in the number of people who actually suffer from fear and anxiety and depression. And so it's a very real thing. I think every single person in this room struggles with fear at different points in their life. If I were to go around and ask everybody, like, have you ever been afraid? Are you afraid right now? What are you afraid? All of us would say, yes, of course. I don't think anyone would say, nope, never been scared or afraid of anything. We would just go, I'm not so sure that's the truth. Like, all of us, in some point in our life, have struggled with fear. I'll share a few of mine. I can remember as a kid, so being, you know, in grade 4, 5, 6, in the house that we lived in, we had an unfinished basement. And for some reason, the light switch for the unfinished basement, there was one, and it was kind of like down the stairs and then over a little bit. And I don't know why my dad, like, install a second light switch, for goodness sake. I think he enjoyed seeing us be afraid. But so we would play down there, and then when it was time to go upstairs, we always got in trouble if we left the light on, right? And now as a dad, I get that. I was like, why is dad always telling us to turn the lights off? And now I'm telling my kids, turn the lights off! It's not free! So we would be downstairs, and when it was time to go upstairs, someone would get chosen, because the stairs are there, and to flip the light switch and then try and make it upstairs without being eaten by monsters that are hiding there. And so you cannot believe how fast we got at that, right? We would, other siblings are at the top of the stairs rooting us on, and we're flicking the light switch and then running, because we were afraid, right? There's nothing down there, but as soon as the lights go out, there's monsters that are going to eat you. Some of you maybe still do, or I hope some of you who are adults don't do this, but right when you go to bed, you flip the lights and then you jump onto your bed so that things from under your bed don't try and grab you, right? And you have to get a certain level of clearance because we're afraid of the dark. Many people struggle with that, right? As soon as it's dark, I'm not so sure about that. And that was me. In middle school, I was afraid of the school bully. And I can actually remember his name. His name was Zach. And he was notorious for, he was just one of those kids that seemed mean and angry all the time. And he would beat people up and, you know, take their lunches and all these kind of things. And so I remember early on in the school year being very afraid of Zach, but do you know how I overcame that fear? I actually became friends with him. So there's a free tip for you. One day I, in fear, went up to Zach and said, hey, do you want to come to my house after school and play? And he said, sure. And then we were friends. And then I was never afraid of anything at school because I was friends with Zach. So there you go, free advice. But I remember there was that real fear of going, oh man, here he comes down the hallway. Oh, what's going to happen? And you would hide and do those things. Even more recently, I struggle, and my wife will tell you this, I struggle with fear of sickness. I grew up in kind of later years at home in the high school and kind of middle school, high school years with a mom that was very sick. And I think there developed this fear of sickness with me. And like I said, my wife can tell you, you know, she'll cough and I'll be like, are you okay? Do you need to go to the hospital? Is everything all right? And because I don't know whether it's memories of my mom always being in the hospital or sick or surgeries or this or that. I can tell you, even now, I still kind of battle that when we get sick. It's kind of like, oh, we're going to be sick forever. This is awful. Because there's that fear that can creep in. See, fear is just this unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that, well, someone or something is dangerous or it's going to cause pain or it's a threat to me. Fear is the belief, well, something bad is going to happen, right? That there's pain or there's discomfort or there's a threat coming. The Bible actually has a lot to say about fear. As I was thinking and preparing for this kind of short message about fear, there's like hundreds and hundreds of verses about fear, trying to go, well, where do you go? Where do we land? Which ones do we pick? What do we talk about? Because over and over and over in the Bible, you'll see the phrase, which is on the screen, fear not. You'll see that phrase over and over and over. When an angel comes, when something happens, when a miracle takes place. Like so many characters in the Bible say that. You know, God will often say that to people. Hey, fear not. When an angel shows up, hey, fear not. And it's a command, right? Don't be afraid. And here's why. I believe that fear is simply believing a lie about God. Fear is not trusting in who God is, what he's done, and then who you are in light of who God is and what he's done. So if you have a Bible, we're going to look at Psalm 56 this morning, and you can flip there. And we just want to spend the next few moments working our way through this psalm. Psalm 56 was written by a guy named David. And most of us, if you've grown up in the church, and even if not, most of us know about King David's life. And as I thought about this and kind of read this psalm, I began to think, if we're honest, if there's anyone in the Bible besides Jesus, if there's anyone in the Bible that we would think was never afraid, my vote would be for King David. Here's a guy, before he was king, when David was a shepherd, here's a guy that killed a bear, killed a lion to defend his sheep. Like, that doesn't sound like a guy that's afraid, right? I'm going to take on and defeat these ferocious animals to defend my flock. This is David, if you remember the story. This is the guy that actually killed Goliath, the giant. If you remember the story, the Israelites, you know, Goliath comes out and they're all afraid, going, oh man, this is hopeless. And David, it seems like David is not afraid at all. He's like, you're going to let this giant talk about God like that? And then he goes and he defeats Goliath. This is David who was victorious in battle, and they would sing songs about how victorious he was. David had a group of soldiers that were his kind of inner core that they called David's mighty men. I mean, that's pretty hardcore. I don't think of someone who struggles with fear when I think about a guy like David. And yet, if you read the Psalms, many written by David, David talks about fear all the time. In many of the Psalms, he brings up this idea of, and not just, you know, those people are afraid. David brings up fear in the fact that, God help me, I'm afraid. Now, Psalm 56 was written by David in an interesting time in his life. He's not king yet. a man named Saul is king, and David's being chased by Saul, and Saul's not happy with David, wants David dead, and David's on the run, and he's hiding from Saul. And David's idea is, well, I'm going to go hide among the Philistines, who were the enemies of the Israelites. He said, I'm going to go hide there, because there's no way that Saul would go and look for me there. And so David's thought was, well, I can just lay low among the Philistines and hide, and kind of let the pressure cool off a little bit. And so 1 Samuel 21, 10 and 11 says this: David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. That's the Philistines. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David the king of the land? So I love that. It completely backfires, right? I'll just go and lay low and I'll hide and no one will know. And he goes and everyone goes, hey, isn't that David? The king of the land? Like, isn't that him? And so if you know the whole story, David then panics because he goes, my enemies, they know it's me. And he pretends to be insane. And then he escapes. And we're told in 1 Samuel 22 that he leaves and he actually goes and he hides in a cave. Psalm 56 is written in this time in David's life. And we're not certain, but maybe this is when he was sitting in the cave, right? He's escaping Saul, his plan backfires, he's running away from other people, and he's hiding in a cave. And Psalm 56 goes through what David is wrestling with. So verses 1 and 2, David says this: be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. So again, things aren't going well for David. He's venting to God. He's saying, God, be gracious to me. People are trampling on all day long. They're chasing after me. They're trampling on me all day long. They're attacking me. They're oppressing me. But look at what he says in verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? David says, when he's afraid. And notice, he doesn't say, if I'm afraid. He just says, when I'm afraid. So it's not that David is going, hey, if there's ever a time, maybe later on in life, when I will be afraid. You know, he says, right now, I'm afraid. Fear can creep into anybody's life. And yet, what does David do? He says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And you already heard that from the people that shared a little bit. I mean, they set this up perfectly. We didn't even plan that. But God, David says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Right? In God I trust. I won't be afraid. What can people do to me? So David reminds himself, right? This is David writing this, like saying this out loud, praying to God, and he's reminding himself, when I'm afraid, right, I put my trust in God. But then look at this, verse 5. All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. Escape in wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. So David seems to fall right back into it. Right? He goes, oh God, be gracious to me. They're chasing me. And then he goes, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And we go, yeah. But then he goes back to complaining all day long, God. Their thoughts are against me. They're stirring up strife. So he falls right back into his fear. That should be encouraging to us. He reminds himself again in verse 8, you've kept count of my tossing. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? See, David reminds himself two times in this psalm. In the midst of fear, David first says, I put my trust in God. And then he falls right back. Oh God, they're chasing me. There's strife. They're pursuing me. And then he reminds himself again. No. God actually knows when I'm tossing and turning all night because I'm afraid. God knows every tear I've cried. God actually is recording my suffering and my woes in his book. And David says, this I know God is for me. So I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to put my trust in his word, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And so David reminds himself again. I love that we see David doing it twice. That is such a comfort to me, because I think sometimes when, you know, fear creeps in, the kind of Christian standard response would be, well, don't be afraid. God loves you, so stop being afraid. And you're like, okay, that's true, but the fear is creeping in again. And right, even for David, I trust in God, I trust in His Word. God, help me, they're chasing me again. No, I trust in God. And so you see in Psalm 56, it's almost like this little battle that's going on in David. He's battling fear and he admits it, and then he ends by saying, well, I shall not be afraid. Even verse 13, the last verse of the psalm, David says, for you've delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. He's battled through this. So then how do we battle fear in our own lives? Because like I said, all of us will be or are afraid of things. All of us will experience fear in our lives. And so when that happens, like, what do we do? Right? What do you do when very real fear creeps into your heart and into your mind? And I think David's experience in him writing Psalm 56 and other passages of Scripture shed light on what we do as followers of Jesus when fear creeps in. Because like I said at the beginning, I'm a firm believer that fear is simply refusing to believe what God actually says about Himself. It's a lack of trust in God. It's actually believing a lie about who God is. Because here, if we actually believed everything in here as absolutely true, that everything God says about Himself is true, if we always believed that, well, then we would never be afraid. If we actually knew everything that God says about Himself and we said it's all true, well, then none of us would have fear. But fear comes in when we begin to believe lies. Did God really say? Is God really that? I mean, even Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did they do? They hid from God. When God asked them, hey, where are you? Adam said, well, we heard you coming, and what? We were afraid. So this morning, I want to give you seven things to remember when fear creeps in. And then, like I said, we want to split into some small groups and just have some discussion together for a few minutes. Seven things to remember when fear creeps in. Not meaning that these are like the checklist that, fear's coming in. Okay, number one, dude, number two, number three. Not like that, but depending on the season of life or what you're battling with, these are things that you can go to remind yourself of truths about who God is. So number one, remind yourself of God's truth. And what is God's truth? God's truth is His Word. David tells us that in Psalm 56. He says, I trust in you, in God whose word I praise. So David says, I'm trusting in God's word, His truth, what He has said about Himself. Even in Philippians 4:8, Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So when fear begins to creep in and about whatever it is in your life, something that can help battle fear is to sit down and remind yourself, who is God? What is true about God? And this is where we turn and we begin to think about those things. So fear's creeping in, whatever, about death or finances. And we go, well, what is God's word, God's truth say about those things? So remind yourself the truth of who God is. Secondly, remind yourself of God's presence. God is not distant and far off. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Deuteronomy 31, when the Israelites were going to go into the land and they were afraid, it says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So remind yourself of God's presence. Lots of times when we're afraid, it's because we feel like, well, God's not with me. He's somewhere far off. He's far away. And that's just not true, right? Don't believe that lie. And so remind yourself, no, God is very present in our trouble. He's with us. Thirdly, remind yourself of God's grace. Remind yourself of past times when God's delivered you, right? Past fears maybe that you went, no, God showed up and he delivered me. He's gracious. That's what David did, right? David says, God, you keep track of my tossings. God, you keep track of all the tears that I've cried. God, you keep track of everything in your book. And so he's gracious towards you. Remind yourself of that. Right? When fear creeps in, remind yourself, hey, do you remember the last time we were afraid about that? What did God do? He showed up. He's gracious to us. Fourthly, remind yourself of God's sovereignty. And that just simply means that God is in control. Nothing catches God by surprise. When you're afraid, he's not going, man, I did not see that coming. Right? God knows everything. He's in control. Even the thing that you're afraid of, he knew about that. Matthew 10, Jesus says this, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, but not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. That's easier for some people. But even the hairs on your head are numbered. You have five hairs. But he says, fear not, therefore. Like God, like remind yourself, like not even a bird falls to the ground apart from God's control. He knows when that happens. And so when we go, well, God doesn't know. No, he knows. He's sovereign. He's in control. He knows what's happening. Fifth, remind yourself of God's listening ear. God actually hears you when you cry out to him. Sometimes I think we would never say this, but we think this. We go, is God really listening? Like when I pray, am I just praying to the ceiling? Like, is God actually listening? Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. It's this picture of God actually kind of like turning his ear towards you and listening to you. God hears you. In the midst of fear, when you actually cry out to God, the truth of God's word tells us he listens. Six, remind yourself of God's trustworthiness. You can count on him. God is trustworthy. I mean, David has said this multiple times in Psalm 56. When I'm afraid, I trust in God. I trust in God. Remind yourself, you can trust God. He will not disappoint. He will not let you down. And lastly, when fear creeps in, remind yourself of God's big picture plan. Because a lot of times fear we just zoom in on what the issue is, but remind yourself of God's big plan for not only your life, but just human history. Remind yourself of that. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Paul doesn't say, notice that, Paul doesn't say, hey, for those who love God, bad things will never happen. Paul doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say, hey, if you love God, you will never have fear. The Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible says, remind yourself, for those who love God, God works everything together for good in the end. And so remind yourself of that. Go, okay, in my circumstance, this thing that I'm battling with, I need to remind myself of the big picture. God is going to use this for my good, not for my harm. So we want to spend some time in small groups now. I want to remind you, Family Sunday doesn't just mean biological families. We are a church family. And so some of you maybe came and your family's at home, or you know, you don't have family in this church. That's fine. But we want to group up for the next 5 to 7, maybe 10 minutes. And in the pew rack, there's some sheets of paper. There's some adult kind of oriented questions. There's some kid oriented questions. So I would encourage you to just kind of maybe circle up with the people around you. If you see someone sitting by themselves, say, hey, come and join us. We don't want to see, anybody just kind of left sitting. And go through some of those questions and just talk about it. It's good when as a church we can, hear God's word and then immediately go, okay, how do we apply this? What does this look like in our lives? What are you wrestling with? And so I know Emily has some extra copies. If you're going, wow, we didn't get a copy, she'll kind of wander around and just catch her eye and wave your hand and she'll bring you a copy of the questions. But go ahead and do that now, and then we're going to close in a few minutes with some singing. But just dive into those questions together.